Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
On today's show, we learn about chronic pain care and the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Menke.
On June 6, 1944, 155,000 Allied troops landed along a 50-mile stretch of the heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi forces on the beaches of Normandy, France. General Dwight D. Eisenhower called the operation a crusade in which we will accept nothing less than full victory. More than 5,000 ships and 13,000 aircraft supported the invasion, and by day's end, the Allies had gained a foothold in France. The cost of D-Day was enormous. More than 4,000 Allied troops were killed or wounded that day. Despite heavy losses, the Allies were able to begin their march across Europe to defeat Hitler. This D-Day, I will pause and reflect on what those service members sacrificed for our country on that fateful day. I am in awe of the great service of any generation. While demands and pressures are different today than they were on D-Day, selfless service continues among the diversity of our service members.
Thank you, General Menke. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. From the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System to talk to us about chronic pain management is Kara Wong and Beth Deroni. Kara is a fellow of the American Association of Psychiatric Pharmacists. She's a board-certified psychiatric pharmacist and the Facility Pain Management, Opioid Safety, and Prescription Drug Monitoring Program Coordinator. Beth is a clinical pharmacist and core investigator for the Center for Care Delivery and Outcomes Research. Both Kara and Beth hold a Doctor of Pharmacy degree. Kara, Beth, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Man, that's a big mouthful with those introductions. Well, thank you for coming into the studio today and spending some time with us. And just really quick, before we get into the big conversation about the chronic pain management, Kara, I just want to start with you. How long have you been at the Minneapolis VA?
Sure. I've been at the Minneapolis VA since October of 2013.
And what led you to the VA?
I did my training at the VA, actually, and I just couldn't get enough of providing care to veterans.
I feel like that's kind of a common response when we ask some of our guests from the VA. You know, they talk about how, you know, whether it was nursing or doctors or whatever, that they started as an intern and they did other studies there and then they found a good home with the VA. So thank you for your service to our veterans. We do appreciate that. And Beth, how long have you been at the VA?
I've been at the Minneapolis VA since 2010.
And what led you?
Similar to Kara, I did some of my training at the VA and really fell in love with being able to practice pharmacy there and caring for veterans.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service to our veterans. We do appreciate that. You know, we'll say it often on this show, and maybe we don't say it enough, but the care provided and the professionalism of all of the staff is just outstanding. So we really do appreciate you guys and what you do out there at the Minneapolis VA. So, Kara, I want to start with you because, you know, I teed this up. We're going to talk about chronic pain care. And so my question to you is, what is it and how can you help me over at the Minneapolis VA?
That's a good start. So chronic pain is that pain that's been around for a long time, at least 3 months. And we know for veterans that oftentimes their chronic pain has been present for years or even scaled on decades. And it can be back pain, knee pain, could be fibromyalgia, or pain in different locations due to different medical conditions. So that's the kind of pain that we're going to talk about today.
And when you say chronic pain that's been around for a while, is it like, you know, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, if your pain is at a 5, we'll consider that chronic? Or is it just the normal, hey, look, I'm aging and I just have pains because I'm an older guy? Is that what you're talking about too? Or how does that kind of play?
We talk about a little of that, but mostly what we see is the pain that's really impacting veterans' day-to-day life and the activities that they're able to participate in. So when it really starts to limit their enjoyment and ability to kind of engage in those day-to-day things.
Okay. So I get up in the morning and you know what? It just takes me a little bit longer, you know, to, you know, get fully upright and moving, you know, because you got to get the blood flowing and stuff like that. I can still go on and live a normal life. Probably not something that necessarily needs to be managed because it's not really chronic pain. That's just, you know what? I'm stiff in the morning. That's just the way it is. But if it limits me from doing the normal activities that I like to do, then I should probably connect with somebody out at the Minneapolis VA and look for some services.
Exactly. And we do have services for a wide array of severity of pain, too. So even if you're looking to just maintain your level of activity and physical activity throughout the day, we've got services that can help you maintain a high level of activity as well.
And is the conversation with the primary care in order to get referred to you, is that how someone would be able to connect with you, or what would be the best way in which someone would be able to find out information or the services that you might provide?
That's a great question. So any VA-connected veteran, pain care typically starts with asking a question to your primary care doctor. However, we do have some services that are available without a referral from the primary care team as well.
Yeah, and that leads me to the question I want to talk to Beth about is, you know, I go see a primary care doctor. I know that generally, you know, I have to get a referral for things. Physical therapy, for example, might be something I don't have to get a referral for. So are there other things or services that you can highlight that don't require a referral, especially as it relates to the chronic pain that we're discussing?
Yeah, of course. And actually, you're correct there that physical therapy at the Minneapolis VA doesn't require a referral from a doctor. You can directly access it if you're connected to the Minneapolis VA just by simply calling a phone number or dropping in if you happen to be at the main medical center. And physical therapy is just one of, I think, a good number of options that are available that don't require you to have a doctor, you know, take some kind of action. So we have options like acupuncture, a mind-body skills class, Tai Chi, yoga, among others that are all, you know, directly available to veterans. So you can go to the Minneapolis VA's website and get more information about what some of those look like. And we continue to work to expand those options. And we see a lot of folks, you know, I worked with a veteran a number of years ago on his pain medication. So we met monthly to make adjustments and kind of tweaks that helped him. And he was also doing the MOVE program, which is a program on weight loss and increasing activity. And that kind of combined approach for him, meds plus, you know, the MOVE program, really helped him work towards his health goals. And some of the options I mentioned, a lot of veterans get benefit by combining some of those approaches. And so we think it's important that they're easy to access for folks, because what works for one person doesn't always work for someone else. So it's good to have some flexibility and options there for folks to kind of improve their ability to self-manage their experience with chronic pain.
And if you don't know the answer to this question, I completely understand. But when we talk about physical therapy, right, yeah, we know that the veteran has some type of a service connection. That's why they're being seen at the VA. But as it relates to physical therapy, does the therapy they're seeking have to relate to that connection or not? Do you know?
No, it does not. Just recently, I had been working with a veteran who was in a motor vehicle accident, and he's still accessing physical therapy now for helping facilitate recovery following that accident.
Okay. Yeah, so that's a great clarifying point, right? Yeah. It's a resource available to our veterans if you're already receiving care out there. Some of these things, especially tapping into physical therapy, because we know how expensive it can be.
Absolutely.
Out in the civilian world, so you might as well tap into that. Kara, I want to make sure we have a couple of minutes here to talk about the Empowered Relief class, because I don't know anything about it, but I'm told that it's brand new. So how about if you can shed some light on that for us?
I'd love to. So Empowered Relief is a brand new offering at Minneapolis VA. We're just hitting our 1 year mark of providing the class, and it's a one-time class about pain and pain management skills. And it was developed by a Stanford University researcher who lived with chronic pain herself and who has been working with people with chronic pain for over the past 15 years. And in the class, we talk about what pain is and how it's processed in the body. And then we spend a lot of time talking about skills that we can use and incorporate into day-to-day activities to help better manage that pain experience. So a lot of the focus is on those skills, and that's what's been demonstrated to be beneficial to people who participate in the class. There's actually a couple research studies that have been published about the effectiveness of the class empowered relief. And those studies have shown that people who participate in the class, that they have decreased pain intensity, decreased pain interference, meaning pain is less impactful on their life, decreased pain-related distress, as well as fewer mood and sleep problems. And they looked at it at 3 months after the class and 6 months after the class, and researchers found lasting relief and benefit in those symptom areas. So we're really excited to be able to offer it here at Minneapolis VA.
That's awesome. We'll pick up the conversation about the Empowered Relief class when we come back from break. So we'll do that now, and we look forward to chatting a little bit more about chronic pain management with the Minneapolis VA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, I have Kara Wong and Beth Deroney. We're talking about chronic pain care and the services provided out at the Minneapolis VA. And Kara, before we went into break, you were talking about the Empowered Relief class. You said it's been in existence for about a year now. So if somebody's listening and they're like, hey, I think I might be interested in this class. So two questions about it. One, how long is the class? And then how could someone get more information to sign up for it if it's something they're interested in?
Yeah, so each class is about 2.5 hours long. So it is a lot of material to cover in one sitting, but we've gotten really positive feedback about how much we are able to discuss. And to get enrolled in the class, again, you do not need a referral from a primary care team. You can just call in directly to our whole health department at 612-725-8194. You could also ask a primary care team member to point you in the right direction, but it's not needed.
Okay. So again, another service provided from the Minneapolis VA where a referral is not required. Just another great way in which they take care of our veterans. So, Kara, can you tell us, you mentioned some of the types of pain that you talk about or you want to help people learn to not deal with, but you want to be able to treat so that things can be better for them. So what are the main things that you really are working with as it relates to chronic pain care?
So as it relates to chronic pain care, again, we're commonly seeing veterans who have been in pain or experienced pain for years or decades. And in terms of the care that we're providing, our goal is really to find that unique or individualized combination of approaches that work best for that veteran. And that could be medications or physical therapy, acupuncture, or more. We know we've got a lot of effective pain management options available. It's just finding that best combination for each person.
And Beth, over to you. Is that part of the reason why you want to bring someone in and talk about the resources available so you can develop the best source or the best care plan for them? Is that the type of stuff that makes this Empowered Relief different from other services provided or other care management services provided?
Yeah. So Empowered Relief as a class, a standalone class itself, includes individualized pain approaches. So one of the key features is a focus on a personalized pain plan. So veterans who join the class, and we offer it monthly, within the class develop a personalized plan. And it focuses on use of three main pain management skills. And these are skills that can be useful for not just chronic pain, but other health conditions as well. We recently had a veteran who joined one of our classes and shared during that he'd had a recent cancer diagnosis. He had a lot of anxiety, understandably, about that new diagnosis. And he said that the skills we covered, he felt like would be really useful for him in managing some of his anxiety symptoms around that diagnosis too. And that's something we see with chronic pain patients all the time, is that it really impacts their mood. There's a lot of stress and anxiety around pain. You know, it's a stressful experience. And the skills we focus on in empowered relief can help with management of those symptoms too. And empowered relief can just be kind of one piece of the puzzle for folks. You know, it's usually not just one thing that helps people feel better and get some relief. It's a combination of approaches. And empowered relief fits well in terms of combining it with, as we mentioned, physical therapy or other types of approaches to pain management. You know, we're both pharmacists, so we do a lot with medications, right. And it can fit well there. But unlike medications that have side effects or dose limits or interactions, you don't have that problem with empowered relief. So you can use the skills as much as you can fit into your schedule or that your time allows, and can be combined with other things. You don't worry about interactions, and they can be ones that are customized. Sometimes that's hard with meds. And so we've both really appreciated that ability to individualize care for our veterans.
And so there's a veteran out there listening to the show right now, and this is their mindset. You know what? Just rub some dirt on it, and then, you know, hike up your skirt and let's move on, right? Just power through it, right? So what do you say to somebody who has that type of an attitude of, you know what, I've been dealing with it for so long, I'm just going to put on my ruck and I'm going to just move out. I'm just going to keep dealing with it because this is what I've known.
The grin and bear it approach, right?
Yeah.
We hear that from a lot of our class participants. And in some ways, that's protective and beneficial. You know, it can be useful to have that mindset, but in small doses. You know, over time, if you just continue to kind of pretend like it's not there, it can really start to impact functioning. You might not realize it, but you stop engaging in meaningful activities, you know, showing up to the grandkids' sporting event, that type of thing. And so with the class, we're able to kind of dive into some of that and identify the impacts that pain's really having on your day-to-day functioning and develop some approaches to manage it in ways that are maybe more helpful in terms of getting you back to where you want to be on a day-to-day basis.
And so, Kara, is there like a tip or a trick or something that you can share with us that someone might take away from one of these classes where they could just implement it now? You know, like, so for example, I think it's important to keep on moving, right? And so, you know, flexibility is extremely important. Well, if you're just sitting idle, you're losing flexibility. So there are probably certain things, maybe certain exercises or something someone should try to do on a regular basis. What would you recommend as a way to help keep someone up and moving and ready to go?
Sure. So I think a lot of times in chronic pain, people kind of get stuck and it's easy to feel helpless when you're in that much pain. And so some things that we talk about in the class is reframing kind of thoughts about what can you do for yourself. And usually thinking through that, people are able to turn things around a little bit, start maybe with smaller activities and staying active and working up to where they might want to eventually be.
And to Beth's point, sometimes it's, you know, one of those things where you do have to do some grinning and bearing, right? You have to work through pain sometimes to get to the healing. Is that right?
Yeah. Not all pain, especially in chronic pain, necessarily means that something is wrong. It's not like you've stepped on a piece of glass all the time or are constantly stepping across glass. So in chronic pain, sometimes our brain signals are working against us.
Yeah. Well, here's what I know, and this is a plug to the physical therapy team. I was having some serious, serious shoulder issues. I couldn't even raise my arm. And I was going to PT with someone from the VA for quite a while. And then one day, it didn't literally pop, but it popped. And all of a sudden, it was like night and day difference, you know? So I know that seeking that kind of care is extremely important to help people to get over those humps. You can't do it on your own generally. We have just a little bit of time. And Beth, I want to finish up with you. You were telling a little bit of a story about, you know, a veteran who talked about their success. I'm just wondering if you've got other stories of success or other things that you might want to share that would really help to push someone to the edge to come over and try your services out.
Absolutely. You know, we ask for feedback after every class about, you know, veterans' experience. And in that, we've had 95% of our folks, and we've had almost 90 join our classes since June of last year, say that they'd recommend the class to another veteran with chronic pain, which really, I think, signals to us that we're kind of meeting the needs for veterans. And we also ask them to share if they're comfortable, kind of their individual experience with the class and how it might be impacting their pain management. And I know, Kara, you recently followed up with one of those folks.
Yeah, I did. One veteran participated in our class in December, and when I touched base with him afterwards, he had basically was in shock. He said, "I'm a totally new man." He reported that the class was one of the most important things that he had done for his health, and that he never imagined the type of turnaround in himself mentally and physically that the class really kickstarted for him.
Well, there you go. Right from the mouth of a veteran. So they should go out, connect at the Minneapolis VA and seek out some of these services with the Empowered Relief Class. Kara, Beth, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about chronic pain. We could talk about a lot more, but we just don't have the time, and I do appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here in the studio today.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Kara Wong and Beth Deroney from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we'll learn about the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers support and customer service 7 days a week to Minnesota veterans and their families through 1-888-LINK-VET. Dedicated staff at LinkVet provide information and referrals via telephone, email, and online chat. It is Minnesota's one-stop shop that offers immediate answers with one-on-one assistance for all veteran-related questions and needs. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org to chat with a LinkVet representative or search our large question and answer database. Call 1-888-LINKVET today.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In the studio with me from the American Legion Department of Minnesota is Janet Lorenzo and Jason Storm. Janet is the Department Service Officer, and Jason is the Assistant Department Service Officer. Janet, Jason, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Good to have you in here. Now, we've got a lot to talk about in a very short amount of time. So, Janet, I just want to start with you. You're a Navy veteran.
I am.
How many years did you serve?
I served 4 years active duty.
Okay. And you had a couple of deployments as well?
I did. I was on the USS Milius and the USS Nimitz, so aircraft carrier and destroyer.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And Jason, you're also a veteran. Tell us about your service.
Yes, sir. So I have 6 years with the Army National Guard. I was with Alpha Battery, one of the 151. We deployed out 9 to 10 to Iraq and came home safely.
Yeah, good. I was over in Iraq in 9 to 10 as well. And Alpha Battery just had a deployment ceremony recently.
Yes,
so they're
did.
Heading out the door again. So thank you for your service. We appreciate that.
My honor.
So, Janet, I'm going to start with you. You know, in the tease, I talk about the Veterans Assistance Fund, but it's also known by something else, something that's not as well known. Tell us what that is and then tell us all about the fund.
Correct. Yeah. So the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund is also known as Fund 85. And the reason we call it Fund 85 is because when we receive donations, charitable gambling donations, Fund 85 is the account that it goes into. So the American Legion has many accounts, including the hospitalization fund. So we like to let our donors know that when you donate to Fund 85, 100% of the donation goes into that fund. It is not used for administrative fees. It's not used for travel costs. It's all for emergency assistance for our veterans.
And so you get funds for Fund 85 through normal donations from the public if they choose to donate, but then also a portion of the gambling proceeds that you have will also fund Fund 85.
Correct.
That's a lot of funds.
Yes, yes it is. But that's also why it's been so successful, is because we follow the lawful expenditure code.
Okay.
L2 falls under preventing homelessness, utility shutoffs, things like that.
And so why did the fund get created to begin with?
Great question.
Why, thank you very much.
So Fund 85 was created by our adjutant, Mike Moxa, and the past DSO, Jeremy Wolfsteller, the wonderful Jeremy Wolfsteller. He did such an amazing job with the American Legion. But now we're carrying the torch forward. What was focused around Fund 85 is bridging the gap. So it's a emergency fund that is similar to the Veterans Relief Grant. We are helping fix vehicles so that veterans can continue going on to work and earning an income. We also help mothers pay for childcare. We know childcare is very expensive these days. So that fund has helped quite a few mothers as well. And then when you think about everyday living expenses, you have your mortgage, you have rent, your utilities, trash bill, things like that. These are things that we need to live life comfortably. And the fund is focused on ensuring veterans can request for this money without feeling shame or negativity around it. We all need help at one point in our lives or another. So this fund helps us be able to do that here in Minnesota.
Now, is there something that makes this fund unique or separate, different from any other type of a fund that's provided from other service organizations?
I love that question, too, because I'm very proud to say in the last year, we've helped a handful of veterans avoid suicide because this fund was able to help with the financial hardship that they were going through. And we know this because of the testimonials that they give to us. On top of that, we do a follow-up about 30 to 45 days after they receive the fund to check in and see how they're doing. We also use a platform called Unite Us to track how that veteran is in the process. So let's say, for example, they need assistance with getting snow gear. We'll put out a referral to one of our community partners for them to assist in that area. Let's also say that they need assistance with yard cleanup because they had a surgery and cannot do that. And of course, city ordinance, majority of the time you mm-hmm. get in trouble when your yard is not kept up. So we will use Unite Us to do a one-stop shop with everything that the veteran is needing and tracking all of those referrals. So we're very proud that within the last year, we've had zero returns of veterans needing additional assistance. So we go through everything that they're needing help with, and we ensure that every single line item is taken care of.
Jason, I'll come over to you, and we talk about the program that Jan is describing. Is there eligibility requirements, though?
The eligibility requirements are going to require you to be an American Legion member.
Okay.
That's where we're going to start. And then ultimately an honorable discharge. It doesn't matter if you serve for 100 days or one day. That's all we need. That's all we require for that.
Now, some of the state benefits through the MDVA have a requirement about Minnesota residency as well, or a Minnesota veteran. Is that a requirement as well or no?
Yes, sir. That is also a requirement.
Okay. So you're an American Legion member.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Minnesota resident, obviously a veteran, or you have the honorable discharge. Janet kind of talked about the different things that can be provided. Are there like specific categories or things that it has to fall into, the support has to fall in, or is it better to ask the question, are there things that you can't support? I don't know how you'd want to how I can tee that up for you.
Well, let's start with what we can support. That's going to be kind of your vehicle repairs, your shelter, your food, any past utility bills that you're possibly going to have shut off on you, gas, electric, stuff like that. I'm not sure about the Wi-Fi at the moment. I know that's becoming a necessity in life. So,
if it's considered a utility, probably,
correct.
Yeah.
We'll do vehicle repairs, just as Janet had stated. If we got veterans that are looking to get to work and can't get to work and they need something now, we'll help them out with that.
Do our veterans have to seek other sources first, or can they come right to you?
We have them, first off, we'll have them go off to the post. Whatever post they belong to, that's where we want them to start. They will be able to give them maybe a little bit of the funds that they have available at the post. They may be able to utilize. And as they work through them, the post officers, as they work with that veteran, then they'll kind of decide if it needs to go up a level.
Yeah, because like I know that there are many, many organizations that want to help our veterans, you know, whether it's state benefits or, you know, just another service organization. And so, you know, I'm just wondering if, you know, there's like this checklist that a veteran, a service member who meets your criteria, you know, you might say, hey, did you try, I don't know, MACV first. Yeah, you want to say something. Go ahead.
Right. And I just want to add in here just a real quick correction. You do not have to be a member of the American Legion. You just need to know where your closest American Legion post is at. We do ask at the end of the process, do you want to become a Legion member? And the reason why is we focus on our community. That's the reason why it starts at the post. The post service officer understands what's available within their area. So whatever's here in the Twin Cities may not be available out in St. Cloud. They have their set of resources that are available out there. Veterans usually know where they can go for resources, but lots of resources are popping up all over the place.
Right.
So post service officers, it's part of their responsibility knowing who is in their community and what they bring to the table and how it serves our veterans.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. We'll take a quick break here and we'll come back. I want to talk about how people can actually apply. And you already mentioned going to the post, but I know there's more to it than that. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I have Janet Lorenzo and Jason Storm in the studio with me from the American Legion, the Minnesota Department, and we're talking about Fund 85. And before we went into break, we were talking about, you know, some of the categories, the specifics, the eligibility. You clarified for us that you don't have to be an American Legion member. However, Minnesota residency and, of course, an honorable discharge from your service. So let's talk about the application process. You mentioned, hey, we want you to start locally, but there's a process. There's some kind of criteria that goes along with it. Can you describe that for us, Janet?
Absolutely. So, again, yes, that is the preferred method because this grant started at a post level. Again, we want our post service officers to know who in the area is needing assistance. However, if you cannot get to your local post, we do have a pilot program that we're running right now between Hennepin County and Ramsey County. So the CVSOs, we work closely with Christy Janigo from Hennepin County, and at Ramsey County, we have Alex Fleming. Both are trained with UNITAS and trained with the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund. Both are also post members. So if you go to Ramsey County, for example, and you're needing assistance with MVAF, Alex will help you through the entire process. It does not need to start at the post level when you go to Alex because you're essentially more than likely also going to be doing a claim. So we look at all aspects of it. We want to increase your shovel. What else are you needing assistance with?
Sure.
And what else can you apply for? Whether, again, that's Social Security disability, the SNAP program, so on and so forth. So when you look at the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund application, you do have to be a post member. Not anyone can just fill that application out.
Gotcha. Okay.
The other piece of it is we do a full financial audit. So we do need 3 months of bank statements. And I understand that that does make some veterans a little bit uneasy over turning over their bank statements and may have some shame attached to that. But please understand, we are not here to scold you about how you spent your money. Life happens to every single one of that, every single one of us. So I want to ensure you we are not here to judge you. We are here to be a one-stop shop resource for you. We do need a DD-214 that does have to have an honorable discharge or under honorable conditions. The bills that we assist with, again, would be basic everyday bills, your utilities, your mortgage, car payment, insurance, cell phone bill, things like that. We want to make sure that if you are currently unemployed, you have all the tools needed to get to your next interview, whether that includes Wi-Fi to be able to apply for jobs, a cell phone so that you can pick up the phone calls and start making those appointments. so on and so forth.
Now, is this a one-and-done type of a situation? You get this grant one time?
That is a great question. We get that question a lot. So with the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund, it is up to $5,000, but it's case by case. So, for example, I have a veteran who just lost his job yesterday. He's needing assistance with 1 month of his mortgage. He doesn't need assistance with anything else. His mortgage is his biggest bill. He has applied for unemployment, so we add that to the application, and we know how much money he's going to be receiving. Again, full financial audit. We want to know that you're applying for every single resource that is out there. So, yes, that is how the process is.
So we have about a minute left, and Jason, I want to make sure that I get you in one more time here. Do you have recommendations to those people that are applying? And then once again, tell us how someone can apply.
So the biggest thing, just like she said, is starting off at the post. And that's going to be the biggest start right there. From there, make sure that you're thorough with your documents, as she has stated. We need all accounts. So if you have that hidden account for whatever reason you might have, we'll still need that. We're able to see transfers, stuff like that. So be thorough with what you got there. And then you can reach us at dso@mnlegion.org or adso@mnlegion.org. And then our telephone number is 612-468-6279.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you all. Biggest thing takeaway I've got is if you got an issue, go to your post, your local post, start there, and they will certainly support you and help you along the way. So,
sir.
Janet, Jason, thanks for coming in to Minnesota Military Radio today and talking about Fund 85.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Calling in is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Lacaparo County Veteran Service Officer, Josh Benega. Josh, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Always good to be on here, Doug. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice. It's been a little while, I think, since I've talked to you. Got to see you at one of the spring conferences that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs puts on. And it's always good to see you in person and catch up. And, you know, one of the things that I know as it relates to the things you've got going on is, you know, here we are. It's Memorial Day's past us. It's the official start of the summer. And, you know, summer, it doesn't slow down for you guys. I imagine you've got county fairs, other outreach events, and other fun things that you're doing.
Yes, with when the weather clears up, outreach events go get moved outdoors, and you know, whether it be informational like health fairs or women veterans programs, outreach events, things like that. Plus, like you said, county fairs. I always look forward to going to my county fair and having a little booth there and meeting with all the veterans and talking about potential benefits that might be available to them. The summertime doesn't really slow down for CVSO offices. You know, we may get some lighter office traffic because people would rather be outside having fun than sitting in a government office and doing paperwork.
But it's air conditioning, so, you know, maybe that'd be an excuse to get out of the summer heat.
Yeah, we get that a lot in July usually because Minnesota Julys are rarely cold.
So, Josh, you know, when you're out doing these events and you're meeting with veterans, you know, many you probably have already met with or you know, but, you know, there's a veteran that comes up that you haven't met yet. Is there often a particular topic or some surprise that you have that they're not aware of as it relates to benefits or entitlements or something?
Well, my first question to any new veteran is, are you in the VA system? Whether that means, are they getting VA health care? Are they receiving any veterans benefits like disability comp, GI Bill, pension, anything like that? Or if they know, if they don't live in Lacaparo County, I ask them, you know, where they live and do they know where your county service officer's office is? And if not, I point them in the right direction and give them a little bit of background.
Why is that so important, Josh, to know if someone's already receiving some type of care at the VA or if they have a compensation or disability level?
Well, if they want to do some work with my office, it kind of gauges to see, you know, what we can provide them that they're not already receiving.
Okay.
You know, if they're not enrolled in VA healthcare, we can talk about, you know, what's what they can get if they meet the income guidelines. If they can't, if they're above an income certain income threshold for priority group 7, we can talk about what they did in service. We can talk about any conditions they may have, some health conditions they may have suffered from their military service, and apply for benefits accordingly. It's kind of a foot in the door, elevator spiel type of
sure.
Type of question and answer, and like I said, basic question: Are you in the VA system? And if they say no, well, why not?
Yeah, let's talk about your service and all yep. that kind of stuff, and that kind of gets the ball rolling. We've got 40 seconds left here, Josh, and I know that as the president, one of the things that you've got to do is be heavily involved with an upcoming conference that you have in the fall. How's the planning going?
So far, so good. We got some. It's a 4-day conference that we have up in the Brainerd Lakes area, and of course, you've been there, Doug, several times, and. We get together and we share best practices, but we also we're also there to learn. That's our main focus, and we've got some pretty good instructors lined up. And we also take some time, and we have a little banquet and hand out a few annual awards to our members and our stakeholders that support our association. So
yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you up there again this fall, and hey, appreciate you calling in and spending some time with us today. Have a great rest of the day, Josh.
You too, Doug. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Please join us next week when we'll get a post-legislative session update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.